Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, a mental performance coach and a former professional hockey goalie. Join me for open conversations about mental health, mindset, and performance. Whether you're an athlete or coach, you'll discover a wealth of tools, resources, and insights designed to transform the way you play and lead. Let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. Let's start with our pre-game warm-up, as always. So if you have not left a rating and review for the podcast, whether you listen on Apple, Spotify, doesn't matter, I would absolutely love if you would take a minute of your time to go ahead and do that right now. So you can hit pause if you want, or you can go and do this during this pregame speech. So again, this is really what helps the podcast grow and reach new listeners just like you, and that is the goal, to be reaching people who absolutely need to have these type of resources around mental performance and mental health. If you haven't already followed along on social media, you can do so by going to Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok. Potentially going to be on Twitter moving forward. I don't really know. Haven't decided yet. But all of the links are in the show notes, so you can go there to follow directly. And lastly, if you are an athlete and you want to step up your game, or maybe you are a coach and you really want to improve the experience that you're providing for your athletes, you can learn more at www.tailored-minds.com, or you can see the show note for the direct link. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, and today I'm joined by special guest, Josh Greco. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be here. It's an honor to have you here, and really excited to jump into our conversation today.
Thank you for having me, Taylor. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. We've been trying to get this in the books for a long time, so glad that we're finally here. So if you could kindly give a little bit of an introduction about yourself and what you're currently doing, maybe a little bit about your background in sports, just so the audience can get a little bit more of a feel for who Josh is.
Sure. Yeah, so I am Josh Greco. I'm a professional and success coach for business leaders, whether you're a business owner, entrepreneur, sales-minded person, somebody looking to get more out of life, already a high achiever and looking to achieve more, whether that's more income, more tangible things that you can touch and that exist in the physical world, but also more things like fulfillment and happiness. I think quite often a lot of people in business pursue something for external reasons, but it's always for internal motivations when we get to the nuts and bolts of it, the root of it. I'm also involved in the Charlotte Street Hockey League. So I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there's a lot of demand here for the sport of hockey. And we run more of an entry level for youth and adults. The entry levels for youth, the adults usually return to the game and find us after many years off for street hockey, which is just deck hockey, which is on sneakers. And then we also have a roller hockey program as well. So I currently serve as the director of the youth program. And I've just noticed a lot over the last couple of years of overlap with what I do professionally with coaching business professionals and then the athletes, and not only athletes, but their parents as well, being present for their kids' youth sports. So my worlds have kind of combined here. They're both passions of mine. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, which, if anybody knows of Buffalo, the hockey runs in the blood there. And it was just kind of a natural fit when I moved to Charlotte. There's not a lot of infrastructure to play the game that I love so much here. So I'm working to build that out with the youth program and through CSHL. And then my business path, I was work for, you know, or among corporate America for about 10 years. And I left the corporate world about 5 years ago to open my own practice. And I'm loving what I do. I love the clients that I coach and connect with. And there's always things that I want more of, but I'm working on that myself. And I'm really enjoying life.
Awesome. What a great overview. I was actually like planning on asking, you know, like where does hockey kind of come into this scenario? Because you're talking about working with people that are of a business background, whether that's in corporate, self-employed, people who just want to like kind of climb the ladder there and improve, whether it's finances, personal, professional, but then also transitioning that into like an athletic realm. So obviously you said you have like a background in hockey, right? Like you grew up in Buffalo, it runs in the veins there. But like, were you actively playing as a kid? Like what really inspired you to say, okay, like athletes could use a lot of these things too?
Yeah, that's a good question, because hockey was not actually my number one sport until I moved to Charlotte, ironically, until I moved south. I played baseball growing up. I always loved hockey. I played with like neighborhood kids and just street hockey, but that was the extent of my hockey, quote unquote, career. I really didn't play organized hockey at any level. Until I got here and started to get involved in the scene. What actually happened was when I moved to Charlotte, baseball wasn't the same for me anymore. You know, I found out why I love baseball so much is that I was playing that sport around people that I really cared about, people that I've met when I was really young, and we grew up together playing that sport. So when I moved to Charlotte and tried to play in leagues down here, it just wasn't the same, didn't have that feel. And I kind of replaced hockey. I replaced the passion of baseball with the passion of hockey. And I went out and, you know, I'd always wanted to play competitively or more organized. I just didn't have the time to, or just not, you know, didn't have the wherewithal with my sports situation in Buffalo. And I found a group of guys here and slowly fell in love, or, you know, re-fell in love with the game. And they needed help. They needed to gain exposure and to build up the program. And I've spent the last couple of years doing that. And kind of like we've been hinting at, I see a lot of overlap with, you know, coaching. The reason I love coaching in the business world is because I am dedicated to getting the best out of people. And when we talk about sports and athletes, that's all athletes want to do is reach their true potential. What are they really capable of? And quite often the role of coaches in either sports or business is to see the potential in their clients or their students or their athletes before they even see it and get them to achieve that potential. So that's a lot of the overlap that I see in the business world and the sports world.
Yeah, very, very well put, honestly. That should be like the number one goal for all coaches is to like make sure that they're helping their athletes grow and improve and get better and make them, you know, empower them to reach their goals and to optimize that potential. And I agree wholeheartedly, obviously, because I'm in the same realm. I have my sports background. I work with athletes every day. So I fully support that. However, I will say, there does need to be a shift in the way that some coaches are interacting with their players. And when I say this, I mean, not all coaches have maybe like a progressive type of leadership style when it comes to coaching athletes. So, you know, we think back to a lot of like command, control, do as I say, like drill sergeant kind of coaching. Whereas now, especially with like the younger generation, obviously, there's a little bit more like sensitivity involved, and you have to, as much as people complain, you have to cater to those things to a certain extent because you need to meet people where they're at. So for coaches to have a little bit more of an emphasis on actually catering to the individual needs of the athlete, I feel is like a really big area of growth that we have already seen, but could see a little bit more growth and moving forward as well.
100%. I think of the evolution of coaching, right? I'll use a couple of names here. I'm just thinking of the NHL, right? Being from Buffalo and growing up with the Sabres, Lindy Ruff was a coach there for many years and had a lot of successful teams. He's still in the league. I believe he coaches New Jersey, the Devils at this point. And his style has evolved over the years. He used to be that person was like, it's my way or the highway, you know, yelling at the kids, the younger players. And if you hear his interviews recently, he has changed the way he coaches. And I think you're seeing success in his teams because of that in recent years. He's still, you know, to be able to have that longevity in coaching at the highest level of hockey, at least in the States and in Canada, is quite amazing. And I could think of a couple other coaches, right? Some of those bigger names that are still in the game, they've had to evolve their coaching style about what we're talking about here, right? It's about, I think coaches coach to their own limit and their own capacities, right? If they don't know how to do it, then that's why they revert to it's my way or the highway. It takes a bit of experience and maturity to realize, well, I need to reach these players. It's my responsibility to reach these players. And if I'm not getting the most out of them, then maybe yelling at them is not working. Or maybe these old techniques of how it used to be back in the day is can take another look there. So I think nowadays we're seeing more than ever connecting with people, meet them where they need to be met, to your point. And there's a line there, Taylor, too, right? Because you do have to have a authority and to be able to control your team and what's acceptable and not acceptable. But you dance that line with, like, you know, maybe that's done more in private, which is why I love coaching, right? It's a one-on-one engagement where such a safe environment to share whatever's on your mind and work through some of these beliefs and thoughts that we have that are internal, because they come out externally, they manifest in the physical world. And you know, that's where the potential actually comes from, the internal, in my opinion. And you can only allow that to come out by those more intimate conversations, which I think, you know, guys like Lindy Ruff can attest to.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm happy that you kind of started to lead into this, because this kind of sparks a little bit more thought on my end. But, you know, I read a post recently, one of my friends shared on Instagram, loved it. And it was talking specifically about, like, coaches need coaches. And there was a lot of really great examples of these famous and historic figures who, maybe not coaches, but they had, like, mentors, they had people who were guiding them and helping them from a more objective perspective to, of course, do a little bit more of that internal work, which, like you said, is super necessary. But to be able to also grow and develop different strategies to be able to, whether it's reach new audiences, or maybe it's when we're talking, working with athletes, to, like, be able to motivate them or to, like, positively trigger them into action. Right. And so, like, coaches, if you don't have a coach, like, get a coach is what I'm saying right now, because I think when we think about performance in sports, we only think about athletes. And that's not a problem, because, of course, athletes are a huge role in the team environment of the sports industry. But the coaches also have a huge role here as well. So coaches, like, don't underestimate the value of getting a coach for yourself to work with, and to also help you have the best impact that you can with your athletes and your teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's helping coaches reach their potential, right? That's the question we'll ask them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that also, like, was kind of leading me into my next question, a little bit more about the Charlotte Hockey, the Charlotte Street Hockey League. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
It is. But it's fine. It's all good. But if you could tell us just, like, a little bit more about the league. I'm not sure if you, like you said, that they needed help in building this. So it was already kind of built there, but you've been helping to, like, market it, grow it, get to new and more audiences. So what's kind of inspired you to help them in this process? And now, like, you're director of youth. So that's also a big responsibility on top of everything that you're doing. So, you know, tell us a little bit more here.
Yeah, I think the director of youth is coming from a place of, I still feel like a kid at heart. And I remember growing up and playing the hockey that I did, right? It was very limited as far as, like, organized or referees. But I remember, like, playing with the neighborhood kids. So how cool would it be if we had referees or scorekeepers or, like, video, and we could watch our highlights and the replays? And so I'm doing that, and we're doing that to offer that opportunity for kids in Charlotte here. And I think it's coming from such a pure place for me, because I've been there before, and I wish those wishes, and I wanted it to happen. Well, there's kids in Charlotte that are wishing those same wishes, you know, probably 25, 30 years later than I was. And I want to give them that opportunity. So it's interesting you mentioned about, like, growing the league and marketing. We've done almost no marketing. It's all word of mouth. But what we focus on is the kids' experience in the program. And one of our things that we say is that we've removed the barriers to hockey. the barriers to the entry of hockey. There we go. Because it's so expensive. It's such an expensive sport, right? Especially ice hockey, ice time, equipment. And so I feel privileged that we have a program that is very entry level. We have extra shin guards and gloves and helmets, and that's all you really need. You can show up with sneakers and come out and play and try the sport here. So beyond that, we have pillars of our program or values that we instill in these kids. And we see this opportunity to instill life lessons beyond just the sport of hockey. So we always share with them that we surf. And I share this acronym before our events and drill it home to them. And the letters all stand for something, of course. So the S is for safety. That's the first thing. I want parents to feel like this is a safe place where their kids can come. Sure, there's injuries and there's some tears from now, every once in a while, because that's the sport that we play. But equipment wise, like, we have everything for your child to be safe. The U stands for unity. When we show up on a Saturday morning, like, I see all these happy faces. We're unified because we all love the sport of hockey. We're all there to have fun, which I'm giving away the last letter there. But the R is respect. Just instilling that value to respect the coaches and the referees. I mean, how often do we see on social media these clips with, kids arguing balls and strikes, or them flipping out in an umpire or referee? We're kind of losing some of that magic with our youth sports and what's acceptable and how you treat people. And so we use that as an opportunity whenever it's not happening. Hey, this is one of the pillars of our program. This is what we model and demonstrate. And when that doesn't happen, it's just an opportunity to teach it, right? This is unacceptable. This is how we might do it in the future. I ask a lot of questions. Why did you outburst like that? Or, why did that happen? I get curious because I want them to be able to express themselves. Not like I'm trying to block them, but also to bring it back to, like, this is how we act. This is the proper way to do it. Have your emotions, but when it's all said and done, we respect who's around us. And then, of course, the F is for fun. We want everybody to have fun. If we're not having fun out there, then what's the point? That's why we all originally at least got into the sport. Sometimes those motives change, as we go. But those four pillars we drill into the kids, and they recite it. They know it. They shout it out when I ask them before our events in the huddles. And I think the parents enjoy it too. And people, word is spreading with what we're doing, that it's a values-based program. And we're starting to win out over baseball or over lacrosse or over some of these other sports. Not that we want kids only playing hockey, but we want to attract a type of person to our program that gets what we're doing and wants to be a part of what we're building. And it's just been blowing up over these last couple of years without any marketing, without telling people about it. And just spreading word of mouth, like families. We're building a community is really what we're doing under the guise of playing hockey. And that's the beautiful thing to me, because we get to have both. We get to do both at the same time.
Wow, I have so many things that I want to touch on. So let me just quickly rewind. So you said, the purpose for you was, like, you still have, like, the childlike feels, which I can hear in the way that you speak, but also, like, even before our call, when you mentioned, like, the surprise birthday party, for example, like, the first thing I thought was, like, oh my God, like a kid having a surprise birthday party. Like, that's what I right. initially thought. So I think, like, that's just so awesome and so wholesome, first of all. So great to see that, like, the childlike passion is being fueled into this, this endeavor. And then also wanted to touch on the fact that you're being able to, like, provide video and, like, an experience for the kids. And the reason I say this is because, like, I think back to when I was playing younger, maybe not, like, super young, but maybe when I was in junior, or maybe when I was even in college, I would love to have, like, a highlight reel video from the years that I played and, like, the experience that I have, and not just, like, of being on the ice, but some of the memories that happened off the ice too, because that's what really encompasses the entire experience, right? Like, of course we play the game because we love it, but a lot of the really amazing memories don't necessarily happen on the ice. They happen in the dressing room. They happen in pregame warmups or something like this. And yeah, I think being able to kind of have something to look back on in the future is such a great thing to offer, first of all. So kudos, keep doing that. I love that. And for anybody who maybe has, like, a similar program or, like, thought, or, like, even to be able to provide something like that is just, like, a priceless thing, I think. So worth every penny of that.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be hockey, right? It's hockey is what we love, but, like, build something that stands for you and that you stand for. And I think there's a lot of joy. There's great joy that comes from that.
100% there is. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking back to all of, like, the amazing times, and like, it's great in my memory, but it would be so awesome to actually see it on like a full screen here. But then you mentioned the values, which is a huge thing for me. Like, I'm a huge fan of all of the values that you mentioned here. I love that the acronym is SURF. That's just great. I think that really resonates with the kids too, probably. And before getting into like the specific values, I did want to mention, this is really important to be instilling at a younger age, especially with some of the toxicity in the sports cultures that we're seeing coming out in media, and a lot of the stories, negative stories that we've heard from former athletes, current athletes, people who have been impacted by a sports industry. And so I think what you're doing and trying to instill these important values in these kids at a young age is really, really great. And I think that's, of course, a reason why the parents also resonate here too, is because part of being a great athlete, and not just a great athlete, a great human being, is having a strong character and values base, in my opinion. Because if you don't have those, then there's really no telling what's going to happen. And it's also very difficult to get to those next levels. For example, if you don't have respect for the people around you, for example, you're not going to make friends that way. You're not going to earn trust with your coach that way. So yeah, I mean, to talk a little bit more about why you're pushing those values would be great, I think.
Sure. I think the first term that comes to mind is like championship mentality. Mm-hmm. When you look at championship teams, you know, we could use the sport of hockey. There, you know, there's a famous term called the locker room guy, the locker room girl, right? It's like somebody who ties together. Now, they might not be the greatest player, right? But there's a role for that person to play. And it's a role that brings the energy up, that allows others the space to tap into their greatest potential, that eases the tension or the anxiety or the stress of the locker room by cracking jokes or like making it lighter so that people can feel comfortable in their own skin, because that's when we perform the best. So I take that analogy from hockey and apply it to everything, to life. It's the championship mentality that we can take into the rest of our world, whether that's professionally or with our relationships. There's a more, I might say, a more ideal way of being or of living. And that's just, you know, pertaining to the conversation of potential. What are you capable of? Are you capable of rising to your highest level emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically, right? There's all these different worlds that we practice or play in. And a lot of times we focus on one or two of them. Now there's a lot, right? But the more we pay attention to, just do a little bit in each one. It doesn't take a lot to build it up. And we all of a sudden have this championship mentality wherever we go. We carry that. We don't have to be on a sports field or on the ice to be able to allow that to come out. It comes out in all aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the two biggest values that you're talking about that stand out to me is respect and fun. So, I mean, of course, all four of them are great, but I think the last two really stick out to me because they played such a big role in my experience as well. And so, like, I've always been the type of person to have respect for all teammates, all athletes, all coaches, regardless of circumstances. And sure, I'm sure there's been a few times in my past where maybe I wasn't as respectful as I should have been, but being able to learn from those and understand, like, this is actually a really important characteristic and value to embody, not just as an athlete, as a person, because it's going to get you much farther in life. But the fun aspect, I think, is so undervalued and underrated when we get higher up in the competition, because like you said, some of your underlying reasons for playing will change over time, but the foundational reason that you started is because you enjoyed it. You have fun because you're out there and playing with your friends, being able to socialize, making awesome memories. But at some point, it kind of switches once you start to look at it from like a maybe a financial standpoint, or like a performance standpoint, even like I have to win or I have to hit these target results. And so, how is it that you kind of emphasize the fun aspect with the kids that you're working with there?
It's looking for the little opportunities when maybe there doesn't seem to be having fun. Some kids may have this belief that they have to win, or the only way to have fun is if they win. And so I'll notice in the handshake line afterwards, for example, like you could be disappointed, right, in your performance, your team's performance, or even the result. But if you're not respecting the other team as you go through, like when I go through and I play my adult league games, it's like a gauntlet, right? So like you just appreciate once the final whistle goes, it's just like a respect for the other team. So if that's not happening, there's an opportunity to pull the kid aside. And like I said, the first thing I do is just ask questions like, what are you feeling? What's going on here? And inevitably what comes out is that there's some sort of underlying belief about why they're disappointed. Maybe they had an expectation that wasn't fulfilled of, I can only be happy if I win, or it hurts to lose. And those are deeply embedded beliefs. I like to say there's a formula of four that I go by. And it's the concept of beliefs, thoughts, actions, and results. And the first two are internal, beliefs and thoughts. And the second two are external, actions and results. But there are these two worlds that get married to ultimately provide a way that we feel, which is why I think that we exist, right? We search for purpose, for meaning in what we do, because we want it to feel good. We want to feel like we're making a difference. So when we talk about the values are all tied into the beliefs and the thoughts of the kids. And not that we're trying to rewire brains here, but we are trying to guide and direct with like, hey, maybe there's a different way to think about that, or have you thought of this? Tuning into the way that they feel, so that when we talk about the actions and the results, it's not what's on the scoreboard. It's about the friendships that they make, or the way that they respect the other team, maybe after getting beat pretty badly, right? So there's these other wins along the way that we can focus on other than what's on the scoreboard when the final whistle goes.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly.
I'm so happy that you brought that up. I was actually talking about this on my own podcast earlier this week about how athletes typically have very high expectations of themselves. And so when they don't meet those expectations, whether that's like, I want to hit X amount of points in a game, or I want to have certain stats, or I want to have X amount of wins, or whatever the case is. But oftentimes, if there's an L on the sheet, they will internalize that. And all of a sudden, you could have a lights out game, but well, we lost. So my performance wasn't really that good. I could have done more, which, okay, it's one thing to have a standard of excellence, but it's another thing to have self-compassion. And to also recognize the value that you've already brought to the table just by being who you are, being an athlete, and separating yourself from the end result a little bit more. Because the sports industry is very results oriented, as we all know, and they don't often recognize the internal things that are going on because that's not the way that it has been designed historically, which will hopefully change over time. And I hope that, some places will start to be a little bit more forward thinking in terms of how they design and develop certain things in terms of whether that's like team organizations or leagues or however that is. But there's so much opportunity specifically in the women's sports space because they're starting from ground zero, a lot of them. So there's a lot of, like I said, opportunity for them to be implementing new things and seeing how those things play out.
Like a blank canvas, right? And sports today, nothing against it, right? It has its history, and it's it's exactly where it should be in the moment right now. But I think where we're going is kind of what you're saying is it's almost beckoning for a change or an adjustment. People are yearning for that, maybe even without knowing what it would look like. And I think what I like about what we're doing is I think we're modeling it. We're showing what it looks like, because either way, it's going to be different than what is the standard that has been set. And that's going to feel uncomfortable in certain ways. But I think what we're building, you know, and we'll start to see the fruits of this over the next few years, like as people graduate or go on maybe to our adult program or whatever, right? Go on to college or into the business world, that they're going to remember the street hockey experience that we had. And that has these little ripple effects into society. And we'd love to expand our model and to build it and to help other people, you know, in different regions around the country, around the world, instill these values or just be a model for it, right? This is what it could look like. This is how we run our program. And I think there's so many benefits from it, like you mentioned. So yeah, it's, like I said, I used the word privileged earlier. Like, I feel privileged that I'm even in the opportunity, in the position to provide that opportunity for the kids. And now, you know, there's a little resistance from time to time with parents or coaches, or this is not how it usually is. Well, yeah, but this is our standard here. And it's just that constant reinforcement that makes a big difference. Yeah. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's so great to hear. And hopefully maybe someone even listening to this who is interested in being able to, you know, adopt a similar model can benefit. But I do want to take some time here now to shift gears a little bit. So talking about hockey and the sports performance space, more specifically the mental performance space, I'll say. Of course, I had the honor and privilege to join you on the podcast that you host. So a few weeks ago, I think it came out. So first, of course, thank you for bringing me on there. That was great. But in the process of this was completing the mind scan assessment that you sent. So I wanted to take some time to give you some space to share a little bit about this, you know, who created it? Why was it created? How do you use it? All of those fun things. So I'll give you the floor here.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. And by the way, Pro Advisor Coach podcast and episode number 181. Go check out our conversation with Taylor over there. Shameless plug. Thank you. Yeah, the mind scan assessment. This is more of a business related assessment. But like I mentioned in the beginning, there's a lot of overlap with what I do with sports. So we'll talk about the business first, and then we can incorporate the street hockey. But this assessment, you know, maybe I'll eventually ask what you thought of it, Taylor, but I remember when I first took it, I wasn't clear on what was even being measured. There's a lot of weird statements, and, you know, usually you can kind of game an assessment like, oh, this is a leadership question, and so I want to be perceived this way, or I think I'm this way, so I'll put this answer. And this assessment's really unique in that you just organize statements from least to greatest or best to worst. And what comes out is this really intuitive information about how your thinking works. So there's tons of assessments out there, right? Some sports related, some others not. A lot of them are personality assessments, or kind of categorize us or put us into, you know, you are this thing. I think this is unique because it's based on what's called formal axiology. And when Dr. Robert Hartman, he's the creator of it, when he came up with this concept in the 60s and the 70s, he eventually went on to earn a Nobel Peace Prize nomination for his work in formal axiology. So formal axiology is nothing else than what we value in our thinking. So we talk about mental performance, like knowing ourselves is so key. This is an awareness tool to show what we value in our thinking within his three dimensions of thinking. So I'm just explain that briefly, and then we can chat about it a little bit more. But think of it like of all the shades of colors in the world, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of shades of color. They're all derived from three primary colors. And of the approximately 60,000 thoughts that we have every single day as human beings, which is crazy to even think about. I don't want to breeze over that, but I've shared that so many times, but it's just crazy how many thoughts we have. We're just emitting these mental energies constantly, unconsciously most of the day, that those 60,000 thoughts are derived from three pillars of thinking. And it's what Hartman calls the intrinsic, the extrinsic, and the systemic dimensions. Or an easy way to remember that is like the relator, the doer, and the thinker. So relator is about people, connectivity to people. The doer is like actions, getting results, identifying the ways to get things done. And then the thinker is the systemic process, procedure, rules, the scalability. So every thought that you have is categorized primarily into one of those dimensions. Might have a secondary category into one of them as well. And when you rank these statements as you take this assessment, it gives us information on where you go to first. If you're a people person, What that means is during times of conflict or when things are happening around you, your first thought is, how are the people around me? The people have to be good in order for me to be good. I'm looking out for others. The action dimension, maybe you're high bias with action, is okay, I've taken the information and let's get results. Like, these are the actions we can take. Let's go do it. And you might be cautious with the action. Here's the actions we could take, but have we thought about what could go wrong or what's worst case scenario that we have to think about here? And then the structure is like systems. Maybe the first thing I think about is, okay, we got to get 10 people's opinions before we jump into this. So like all these thoughts, the way that our mind works, which by the way comes from our experiences growing up, right? Our beliefs shape the way that we think. This mind scan assessment is like a look inside your mind with what you value in your thinking. And it opens up this conversation about your beliefs and maybe why you see the world the way that you do. And to know yourself is key to anything. This is why it works on the athletic field, is because if you know who you are, then you can play to your strengths and you can work on or limit or think about how you're avoiding your weaknesses, delegate that or leverage somebody else around you to do that. And that's what this mind scan does. And that's why I think it's fascinating and so interesting to me.
That was a really great overview. Thank you so much. Because I think back to, was it January that I took this assessment already? Like, how is it almost March? Anyway, that's
Crazy.
crazy, I know. But yeah, I think back to when I took this assessment and I had no expectations, really. I was like, okay, another assessment. So maybe the expectation was like the classic, the personality ones that you see
Yeah.
often and those types of things. But then I go in and there's like these just random statements that I have to put in order. And I'm thinking like they're so weird. And it was actually like kind of challenging sometimes to prioritize them because I'm like you were saying, like the three different thought areas that we break it down to, whether it's internal, external, or systematic. I think there's like a little bit of tug of war going on at some points in my brain. But it was really interesting to see the insights that came out of that assessment and how spot on a lot of them were, which I think I'd like to think at least I have a pretty high level of self-awareness. But also gave me like some insights on some areas where maybe I wasn't really paying attention to as much as I should have been, based on the goals that I have, for example, right? So I can see from a business context how this would be like really important for teams in business, for example. So you can start to see like and understand why people are thinking certain ways, and you can see, okay, this person thinks more this way, so maybe they'd actually be stronger fit for this role or vice versa. But how is it that you take this assessment into teams from the athletic space, because there's significantly more people on a hockey team, for example, than what you'd be working with in a small team in a business room.
Yeah, there's a cool tool I have that can plug multiple results into like a snapshot of where everybody falls, right? So this is measuring the bias. So what happens is if we plug 5, 10, even 15, 20 people in there, what happens is we find the average line, and that represents the bias, right? And what we've discovered with sharing this assessment with a lot of people is that the average line usually comes out to be about zero or the neutral line. And so the more that you do it, like we kind of even each other out. And this is true almost for every sports team or every team of people that I've ever done it with. So if you're above that average line, there's certain things that that could mean. Right. And if you're below that average line, there's certain things that that could mean. If those two people come together during a conflict, they're going to think and see things differently in their approach to solve that problem. And that can happen on the ice in the athletic world, like whatever that means to them. So they're, a captain, for example, you might want to see that high empathy, thinking about their teammates, putting them first, prioritizing them, getting the most out of them. Perhaps your fourth line winger, you want like low empathy, just go out there and just go wreck somebody, like go throw the body around. So there's different things that you might look for in a chart that shows what you're prioritizing in your thinking. And maybe from a coach's perspective, oh, this person, the internal and the intrinsic, which would be the self-empathy. So it's also about yourself and how you perceive yourself. If I have a whole team of people who have low self-empathy, I might coach them differently, right? And if we're averaging negative six, which sometimes I see down there because it's, the internal is a little bit different. Maybe I approach my team a little bit differently when they're doing something wrong, or when they're not getting results, or when they're tough on themselves. So this insight just gives so much information to how people might receive my coaching or receive the things that I'm saying to them. And it's super invaluable because as coaches, we mentioned this, right? All we want to do is meet people where they are, because then we can rise them up to the next level that we see their potential at.
And I think what you just mentioned is key there, is like, how is it that coaches can use a tool like this to meet their athletes where they're at? Because unfortunately, you're not taught soft skills as a coach. You have to actually learn them. Sometimes you learn them just through experience and you're able to build on that, but you have to learn a lot of those soft skills. You have to be able to read and kind of react, no different than being on the ice and trying to read, react to a play. You have to be able to do the same as a coach when working with athletes, because how this person is responding doesn't necessarily mean that this person is going to respond the same way. And so, you know, I've had coaches who have told me, no, you're not going to get past a certain level. Well, I'm very lucky in the sense that my internal drive was so high that when I heard that from a coach, like, I instantly kind of had like this more or less like a fuck you attitude.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to prove you wrong. However, not everybody is built that way. A lot of people have softer insides than me, maybe. And they would take that to heart and they'd say, you know what? You're right. Like, I'm not good enough and I'm not going to be able to make this. And next thing you know, this person is no longer believing in their ability to get to the goal that they once had. And now the way that they perceive themselves is also changing too. And the goal of sports is coming back to like the foundation value is fun. So how is it that you think that coaches can use this assessment not only to meet athletes where they're at, but also to help bring fun back into the game and prioritize that first?
Yeah. So how might you define fun? Right. And I'm sure my definition, we've maybe learned what I think it's not. Fun is not, doesn't have to be winning. It's not necessarily tied to winning. So fun to me is growth, is my own personal growth. If I'm growing as a person with what I believe in, or releasing limiting beliefs about what I believe about myself, if I'm adopting things that help my performance, it's kind of like, I think it's the word that comes to mind is cool. Like, this is cool. Like, I'm progressing in my abilities, my capabilities, because somebody else is teaching me something or sees the potential in me or sees things that I don't see, right? Sometimes we're the label on our own jar, right? So we're facing out. We can't see internally. We can't see what's going on there unless somebody else points that out to us. So yeah, just the cool part of like the growth. Like, I think even if I lose on the scoreboard, if I'm getting better, if I'm pulling others up with me, if I'm making others around me better and pulling up their potential, then that's fulfilling to me. I'm having fun doing that. And it doesn't, you know, the scoreboard, I think the scoreboard comes eventually with all that stuff, which is the tricky part, like work on the internal stuff first. And I think the external like manifests after that when you're doing it for the right reasons.
100%. I couldn't agree more. And I think that's also one of the challenging pieces of doing the mental training, is because it is such an internal process. So it's, and especially for athletes, when you're used to seeing external results and you're used to, you know, all of the physical things, right, where you're trying to reshape your brain, you're not seeing how that works and you're not able to kind of, it's not tangible for athletes. So that makes it a little bit more challenging to buy into sometimes, but 100%, like once you do the internal work, the results come. Like, so like focus on you, focus on what, where you're at, where you want to go, where's the gap, how am I going to change that? Once you start to focus on the process of things, everything else will work itself out as a result. And honestly, one thing that I've always lived by is like everything happens for a reason. So don't let a lot of those external things, whether that's like goal against or a win or a loss, doesn't matter. Like, don't let them impact you to the point where it's taking away from the journey of it. Like, there's so many things to learn. And that's, for me, like, that's also the fun part. It's like being able to grow and learn.
Yes.
And of course, like smiling, laughing, having a good time with my teammates, right? Like, those are all when I think of fun. And Even I think back to some of the drills that our coach would do on the ice, and I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan, but it challenged me, which made it fun too. So like if something's too easy, it's not really engaging. So for me, it's like growth, happiness, and challenge is what kind of makes fun for me. And I think it's also great that you brought up like what is fun for you and something for athletes to think about. And maybe coaches even think about asking your team this too. Like, what does this actually mean to you? And how can we start to prioritize that meaning for the team throughout a season?
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I wanted to share before we get too far removed from the mind scan that I'd like to offer that to people, coaches, athletes, whomever would like to try that out. It's a really cool assessment. It doesn't take too long, maybe 10-minute commitment. And I get an email ping upon completion, and I'm happy to do a free review for anybody who wants to take me up on that. So, Taylor, if I could have your help just including that in the show notes or wherever people can access it, that would be super cool. Love to offer that.
Of course. And yeah, anybody listening who wants to cash in on that, I highly recommend. It's an interesting experience, I will say. It was enjoyable too, so maybe fun. I'm not sure how fun it was, but I was very intrigued by some of the things that I was reading. So yeah, would recommend to anybody reading or sorry, listening, and you can find it in the show notes. You can go and check it out and get your mind scan. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we've had really good conversations already about hockey, about mental performance, about values. And so obviously one of the big things for me is being able to provide resources to athletes. So I always like to recommend books, or it can be audiobooks, I don't know. But if you could recommend some sort of resource to anyone who's interested in learning more about improving their sports performance, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, overall well-being, what would you recommend?
Two books come to mind right away. I'm going to give one that people have probably heard of, and then I'd like to give a maybe a little bit lesser known for the deeper cuts, the people who enjoy those. So, Atomic Habits. Have you ever read that, Taylor?
I'm actually listening to it on audiobook at the moment. Yeah.
Yes, it seems like everybody's read it or is listening to it or paying attention to it. So it's got some real nuggets in there with how to develop good, positive, healthy habits, how to get rid of old bad habits, and atomic meaning like atoms, like at the smallest level, right? So just to make things simple, I think it's even in that dialogue, right? To make it fun, like make things fun so that you can show up and you look forward to what you're doing. So for athletes, for the business owner, for anybody who's looking to, like, my definition of fun is to grow in themselves. This book is really interesting and gives a clear path for things that you might be, have thought of working on or that you want to achieve or that you've been meaning to get to. And this is provides like a path for how to make it easier and how to make it fun. So that's book number one. The second one I'd like to plug is a book called Awareness, Simply Awareness by Anthony DeMello. And this is, I judge a book usually by how many pages I dog ear to go back and read the quotes or something that was impactful to me. And Taylor was like, every other page, I was like, oh my gosh, got to come back to that. Oh my gosh, got to come back to that. It was such an interesting way of viewing the world. And it made it all about myself, not selfishly, but the fact that things happen in my world are a mirror for me or for me to learn from or things I'm noticing in other people. And it just had this real wisdom to it that was very eye-opening. So somebody looking for a little bit deeper cut to know themselves a little bit better, to put different lenses on for how to see the world. I would definitely recommend that book, Awareness by Anthony DeMello.
Awesome. I haven't read it. I'm going to read it, and I'll link both of those in the show notes as well for people to go
Awesome.
and take a look, just so it's easier to hit up on Google search. But yeah, the external world being a mirror of what's going on internally is so true in my experience. Oh my goodness. Yeah,
When you're
absolutely.
looking for it, you start to notice it everywhere. Like, oh my gosh, okay,
Like, don't forget to address these things. Don't forget to do the work. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing both of those great resources. I hope that people take advantage. Also, the Atomic Habits, like I'm only partway through it, but it's been really great so far. And it's important, like it's imperative to add the fun aspect into making those atomic changes, because fun is like I said many times already, fun is the foundation. So once you start to enjoy the process of doing some things, that's when you're going to see like, oh, this is now a routine for me. This is something I'm doing all the time. So that's the behavior change foundation, I think, is like fun, enjoyment.
Absolutely. And that's that championship mentality, right? To build that. You can do that through atomic habits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh, for joining. It's been an incredible conversation, in my opinion, anyway. I hope you've enjoyed being here as well. So if you could kindly leave us some contact info in case some listeners want to get in touch, learn a little bit more about what you are doing and how they can maybe get involved.
Sure. My email is joshua@proadvisorcoach.com. So that's mm-hmm. the organization that I coach under the umbrella of is called Pro Advisor Coach. So you can visit that website as well, proadvisorcoach.com. And then also direct you to my podcast website, which is proadvisorcoachpodcast.com. And like we said, Taylor's episode is number 171. And I've been hosting that podcast with the co-hosts for the better part of 3, going on 4 years now. So we've recorded an episode every single week. And we're up to 180 episodes now, which is just hard to believe. It's crazy. So mm-hmm. yeah, you can find me at all those locations there.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll be sure to make sure to link everything down in the show notes as well. So everything can be found there for anyone who's listening today who wants to either get the mind scan, get in touch with Josh, or to read some awesome books or listen to some awesome audiobooks. So again, thank you so much, Josh. It's been really great. And yeah, hopefully we'll get you back on here soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.